Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tainus Daf Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur four lines from the top of Daf Vov. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. Nosei is the topic, Mivneh the structural note. Here we have combined them into one note. A bow tie shape is featured. You'll see in the Gemara text the words Yore and further down the word Malkosh in a diamond shape. The issue is Mahu Yore, Mahu Malkosh. These are terms that many of you are probably familiar with because you find this in the Kriyat Shema. In the second paragraph of the Kriyat Shema, the Pasuk says, V'nasati mitar artzechem b'itoy yore u'malkosh. And I will give the rain of the land in its time, the names of the rainfalls, the Yore and Malkosh. And we have seen already in a previous Gemara that these have respective seasons, or times, we'll say, that these rainfalls occur in. Yore being the early rainfall and Malkosh being the late rainfall. So you can see in the Gemara, as we said here, we open with a bow tie, the word Yore, and in the wide lines of the Gemara, maybe a third of the way down the wide lines, at the beginning of the line, you see the word Malkosh. Here, first, the Gemara deals with what is the meanings of the words, and later in the Gemara, it will deal with the times of these rainfalls. So now the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Yore. What does the word Yore mean? Shemoyre esabrias more means it teaches, it instructs. And when this rain falls, then people will now know. Shemoyre esabrias, it teaches the people, latiach gagoisehen, to, we'll say, tar down their rooftops. Tiach is adding a layer of material to the rooftops, like tar, which prevents the rain from getting into one's houses. Ulahachnis es perusehem, and to gather in the food materials, the fruits, the grains. The word peros is agricultural produce that was left out in the fields throughout the summer to dry. We've mentioned this in the past that the focal point is the land of Israel, where there's a clear rainy season and a clear dry season. Half the year is in rainy, often referred to as the winter season, but the rain starts a little before formal winter and lasting till Pesach, and from Pesach till after Sukkot is the dry season. So when the Yore rain falls, that first rainfall, that shows people it's time to tar down the roofs and to bring in whatever was left out in the fields. V'lasos kol tzorchehen, and to do all other rain-related matters. Dovar Acher, another approach to the name Yore, she marve es horetz. The shoresh of the word Yore, having the same shoresh, the same root as to quench the thirst, she marve, to quench thirst, es horetz. It gives the land, the earth, to drink, umashke ad tahom, and the water goes down to the depths. Shinemar Tolomeha Ravei. The word Ravei has to do with Marve, and we go back to the word Yore there. Ravei Naches Kidudeha Birvivim Temogigeno Simcha Tevorech. Now, without a literal translation of the pasuk, but it has to do with the furrows of the land being filled with waters. Dovor Acher, Yore, Shiyoreid Benachas, V'eino Yoreid bezaf, the rainfall that is described as a rain that it rains with ease and doesn't come down with intense force. Oy eino yore, or maybe yore doesn't have to do with something that comes down with ease, but rather eloshemeshir es aperos, umashtif es asroyim, umashtif es hoilonos. Maybe it's a reference to a rain that comes down with great force, that mashir es aperos causes the fruits that are on trees to fall off. It knocks the fruits off the trees, and it deluges the plants that are growing, the vegetation, the plants that are growing from the ground. And mashtif es hoironos, and does the same to the trees. Talmud loimar malkush. Well, in the same pasuk, along with yore, you also have malkush. Ma malkush lebrocha, just like malkush comes as a blessing, not something that ruins vegetation. Af yore lebrocha. So too, the yore comes with comes as a blessing. And the Rashi points out that the thinking of the Gemara at this point is that, well, Malkush is definitely something that has a bracha to it, and there's no that's your only option in darshaning and in explaining the word Malkush. So by virtue of the fact that Malkush is together with Yore in the same pasuk, so Yore would also be something that is of a blessing nature. However, there's a turnaround now. Oy einoy Malkush, maybe Malkush is Shemapil es abatim u'mishaber es ilonos u'mal es asakoyin. Maybe Malkush is something that is destructive. It knocks houses down, it breaks trees, and it mal es asakoyin causes locusts to arise. Talmud loimar yore. Now, before we go on, You might be asking, how can you even think that this is of a destructive nature? How can you raise that possibility? So, and when in the Torah the word seems to be in light of people who keep mitzvahs, you will get this reward. So Rashi explains that the bracha aspect of it is in that it fills up the water supplies. It fills reservoirs, so that has a blessing element, but maybe it is nevertheless something that has this downside to it as well. So to this, the Braisa adds, Talmud lomar yore, ma yore lebrocha, af malkush lebrocha. Just like yore is definitely something of a blessing nature, so too malkush is of a blessing nature. So that's the end of the Tanaic source. And the Gemara now asks, how is the source so sure about the Yore as being a bracha? After all, when the discussion began, we thought that maybe Yore is something that knocks the fruit off the trees. So the Gemara says, V'yore gufe minolon, Yore itself. How do you know that it is of a blessing nature? Dichtiv, well, here we have a pasuk to settle the matter, so that once a pasuk settles the matter, it's locked in to being something of a bracha nature. What does the pasuk say? Dichtiv, uvnei tzion gilu v'simchu b'ashem elokechem. May the people of Zion rejoice and be happy with the Almighty. Ki nosan lochem es hamoyre litzdoka. Mora is the same as yore. Vayored lochem geshem moire umalkush borishon, and he will bring for you the mora that is litztaka, that is charitable, that is beneficial. He will cause that to come to you, and vayore along with the malkush in the first month. So we see here that yore is something that is of a blessing nature. So too the malkush is such. Tonu Rabbanan. Now here, on the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, Hazmanim Shel Yore Malkush, the times for these rainfalls. And when we speak about the times, we'll be speaking about the months in which they are expected to fall. on the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Yore b'mar cheshvan u'malkish b'nisan. As far as, just parenthetically, as far as the pasuk we just read from Yoel, Perek Beis, Pasuk of Gimel, this we already explained, even though that pasuk mentions Yore and Malkoshar, Barishon in the first month being Nisan, that was explained already as referring to a special occasion in the time of Yoel, where there was an intense drought and there had been no rainfall until Nisan. But in general, when times are proper, when things are working according to the nature that the Almighty created in this world, so the following should be the case. Yore b'mar cheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan. Atoimer yore b'mar cheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan. You claim that that's when these rainfalls occur, the yore rainfall in cheshvan. Mar cheshvan is the same as cheshvan, which is the month after the month of Tishrei, with the holidays in it, with Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah. Cheshvan is the second month. And then second month when we count from Tishrei, of course, that Yore falls in Mar Cheshvan, and Malkush is in Nisan. Oy eino elo, maybe Yore b'Tishrei u'Malkush b'Iyar. Here we're pushing the months apart by one. Instead of Mar Cheshvan, we push the Yore back a month, Tishrei, and the Malkush, instead of appearing in Nisan, it would appear a month later in Iyar. Talmud Loimar, therefore the Pasuk also says b'Ito, in its right time. In its right time, and as we said, according to the Teva that the Almighty created, the right time is Cheshvan and Nisan for these respective rainfalls. Now, you can see that we have a brackets in the Gemara, and the bracketed section, what it accomplishes, and you can see we have a little note on the side that explains the brackets. Achrei ha-sograyim, ha-gmor mamshicho lodun bizmanim shel yoyre u'malkosh. After the brackets, the Gemara goes back to the issue concerning the times of these rainfalls. So if you skip the brackets for a moment, you can see Tan Rabbonon yoyre b'mar cheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan. Another brisa that opens the same way as the brisa we just did. Atoimer yore b'mar cheshvan u'eino elo yore b'eino elo b'chodesh kislev. See, in this brisa, there's also an attempt to redefine the time of yore. Instead of mar cheshvan, maybe yore is in kislev. And following that brisa, there will be another brisa, which opens with Yore b'mar cheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan. Again, times are the issue concerned over there. Now that the structure has been laid out a bit, we go to the bracketed section. And here we feature Malkosh, but Malkosh here is with a bow tie, just like the opening brisa had Yore in it with a bow tie, dealing with what is the meaning of the word. So now, we'll continue. Being aware that the issue of times will be continued to be dealt with by the Gemara after the brackets, we won't be confused. So now the Gemara. Malkush. Omar Rav Nahiloi Bar Idi Omar Shmuel. What is Malkush? Dovor Shemol Kashyuseim. Notice the word Malkush is an abbreviation of these two words, mol, obvious where the mem lamed is there, kashyosein kuf shin is the second part of the word malkosh. So it is something that shemol kashyosein shel yisrael. Mol is to cut down, to cut off, like bris milah, something that it removes. Kashyosein, the stubbornness of the Jewish people. And you might be asking, what's the connection between a rainfall and the stubbornness? Well, the Rashi explains that when people see that this is not falling, so then people repent and they leave their stubbornness until and they do acts of charity in order to appease the heavens and appease the Almighty. So That's what Malkush is, according to Rav Niloy. It's an abbreviated expression, Mol Kashusam. It removes the stubbornness. And as we said, stubbornness is a negative attribute, generally speaking. And with the lack of Malkush, people will start praying and repenting. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, this is a second approach to what Malkush is. Dovor Shem Mimale Tevua Bekosheha. Again, notice the words Mimale Tevua Bekoshe. Take the Mimale, the Mem Lamed of that word, and Kasheha from that, the Kufshin of that word, and you get Malkush. It is the rainfall enables the grains, the Tevua, to become full, complete Bekosheha upon the grain stalks. The Kash is the stem or the stalk of the grain. So the grains become fuller with this rainfall. A third approach, b'masnisa tana, Malkosh is dovar sheyored al hamlilois v'al hakoshin. It's a rain, it's late in the season, so the grains are already growing and pretty well developed, so it falls upon, malilos is an expression referring to the top of the grains, the top of the stalks, where grain appears, and the kashin are the stalks. So it's a rainfall that falls upon things that are already well into their growth. Tonu Rabbana. Now, as you see, the brackets ended. We go back to the issue of times. Yoreh b'marcheshvan u'malkush b'nisan. Those are the times for these rainfalls. The first rain in Marcheshvan and the last rain in Nisan. Ata oimer yoreh b'marcheshvan. O eno elo b'kislev. You're claiming it's a cheshvan. Maybe yoreh, the time for yoreh is kislev, the month of kislev. Tamud lomar beito yoreh u'malkush. Ma malkush beito. Just like malkush has its fixed time, af yoreh beito. So too, yoreh is in its time, and that time being cheshvan. Tanyo idach. We have another Tanaic source, Yoreh b'mar cheshvan u'malkush b'nisan, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rav HaChachomim omrim Yoreh b'kislev. And here we have another approach. We saw this as a possibility in this brisa before, but that brisa we'll have to assume for now was according to Rabbi Meir, because according to the Chachomim, you see that Yoreh is not just a possibility, but it's the expected time for the Yoreh rainfall. Man Chachomim, the Gemara asks, who is the Chachomim? It's certainly not Rabbi Meir. Chachomim being a term, it's an anonymous opinion. So, but who stands behind that opinion? Omar Rav Chisda, Rabbi Yossi he. This is in accordance with the Tano Rabbi Yossi. Desanya, Ezo he Revio Rishona. When is the first rainfall? So the first rainfall is broken down into different time periods. We should note that this Tanaic source has in it, you can see through the markings, you can see three different names appear in the source. There are three different sets of dates, and Rabbi Yossi is the last one, and you'll notice that there you have Kislev appears for the first time as a date regarding the time of the Yoreh rainfall. Now, when we speak about the Yoreh rainfall, we're breaking it down into sub-units. It doesn't mean that the first rainfall literally is the rain that falls on the first day, but it's a series of dates that all together comprise the early rainfall of the season. And later, as we go on, we'll also explain what the significance is of having a date for these different rainfalls. So here we go with the different opinions. Ezohi Revio Rishona, what is the known as the first? Revio also is a term meaning rainfall. The Gemara deals with the meaning of that word later on. But what is the Revio Rishona? Rishona being the first of the season's rainfalls. And we said they're broken down into three parts. Habechira, the first, Bishlosha B'mar Cheshvan, the third of the month of Cheshvan, Beinonis B'shiva Bo, the middle one on the seventh, Afela, the late one, the last part of this of the early of the beginning rains of the season, the last one of these subunits of time is B'Shiva Osor Bodiv, Rabbi Meir, the 17th of Cheshvan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he has different dates. B'Shiva Ubiyud Zayin, that's the 7th, the 17th, Ube'esrim Ushlosha, on the 23rd. Rabbi Yossi Omer, B'Yud Zayin, B'esrim Ushlosha, Uberosh Chodesh Kislev, the 17th, the 23rd, and the 1st of Kislev. It's interesting to note that each one of these days, they agree that the 17th of Cheshvan is a rainfall time. V'chein hoya Rabbi Yossi Omer, and likewise Rabbi Yossi said, Ein ha-yechidim mis'anin ad shi'agia rosh chodesh kislev. The yechidim, the pious ones, the special ones, they don't start their fasting, and the issue of fasting, which is obviously the name of our mesichta, is something dealt with quite extensively later on, that when there appears the beginning of a drought, fasting is the order of the day. And as far as ruling upon fasting, instructing or requiring fasting on the part of the public is something that sets in stages. So the yechidim, the first stage of fasting is done by the leaders or the pious ones. And when is there a sign that we have to begin fasting? That is, according to Rabbi Yossi, if the beginning of Kislev comes about and there has been no rainfall. So that's the significance of knowing the date of the first rain. Omar Rav Chisda, and here we have a new marking, so on the side we have a Mivneh. These are Shnei Lishonis B'mahu Posak Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda appears in this Gemara as ruling upon something. And there are two versions upon what he said, a ruling. So Rav Chisda says, Halocha k'Rav Yossi. Rashi, by the way, has a different girsa, and he has here, the Halocha is like Rabbi Yehuda. But for all intents and purposes, we have Rav Chisda taking a stand as far as the different opinions that we just saw. Ameimar masni lohod Rav Chisda beho lishna. Ameimar has a different version concerning upon what did Rav Chisda issue his ruling. So it goes on the following. So we have a Rav Chisda ruling that dates upon dates concerning rainfall, but not with regard to fasting, but rather with regard to what is the date for starting starting to request rain in the Shmon Esrei, in the davening. So we insert in the Shmon Esrei, and this we discussed extensively at the beginning of the Masechta, V'sein Talu Motor Livrocha. Where is that line inserted into the Shmon Esrei? Or when, that is. When is it inserted? The first opinion is the 3rd of Cheshvan. We start saying that, and Ramliel says on the 7th. And Omar Rav Chisda rules Halacha K'Rabon Gamliel, that you would insert the line of a saying Talu Motor, certainly for the people living in Eretz Yisrael, you would insert it on the 7th of Cheshvan. Keman Azla Hadesanya. If you notice, we have a semicolon here. The reason for that is that as the Gemara goes on with its question, Keman Azla, it's not a continuation of the line we just read, but rather it's a throwback to the dates of when the different subsections of the first rainfall come about. So who would author the following? Ha desanya Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Gishomim shiyordu shiva yomim ze achar ze. If you had 7 consecutive days of rain, Ata moine bohen revia rishona ushnia vishlishis. The 7 days could count as containing the first, second, second and third rainfalls. Keman Kereb Yossi. This could work out only like Reb Yossi. Omar Rav Chisda Halocha Kereb Yossi, and Rav Chisda rules like Reb Yossi. Now let's just explain that. How do you get to that calculation of 7 days containing Revi or Rishona, Ushnia, Ushlishis? And technically speaking, the idea of the 7 days containing these rainfalls is that a 7 day consecutive rain period could contain the first and second, or the second and third rainfalls. So only according to Reb Yossi would this calculation work out. And we're not going to go through all of the possibilities. Rashi does, but let's just say how this calculation does work out according to Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi gave us dates. The dates that he gave us were the 17th, the 23rd, and the 1st of Kislev. If you count from the 17th to the 23rd inclusively, you will find 7 days. So that within 7 days, you can have the first and second rainfalls. Likewise, if you count from the 23rd to the 1st of Kislev, in this case, you're going to count 7 days that would end with the 1st of Kislev. You count 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. That's 7 days. And then the next day, here it's not inclusive counting, but nevertheless, it is a counting of 7 days, and then you would reach the 1st of Kislev. So within a 7 day period, you can have what would count as the first and second rains of this 3 date subdivision, or the second and third rains. With the other two opinions, you won't have the number 7 figuring in a way that would include first and second, or second and third. You can look at the other opinions and do the calculations or work through it with Rashi. Let's continue in the Gemara. Keman azla ha desanya. We pick up from the second line from the bottom. The second line from the bottom. Bishlamo revi rishona. Here the Gemara deals with the need of knowing the dates. The revi rishona, I need to know a date for that, lishoil, representing the time that upon which we would start asking for rains. In other words, we have a date when the rain should occur, and that's the time we start asking in our Shemona Esrei for Hashem to provide ample rains. We don't want to ask for rains prematurely, so we want to know what's the first date that rains could be expected under normal circumstances. Again, through the nature that the Almighty created. I emphasize that when we speak about nature, realize that the Almighty created it. And just to sidetrack for a second, realize that rain, even though we describe it as part of nature, it's different than, let us say, something like sunrise, and we spoke in previous Gemaras about dew and winds. Those are things that happen, that Kodesh Baruch Hu built into nature, that will happen, let's say, under all circumstances, even without our specifically praying for it. Not so in the case of rain. Rain is not a given. It's not a given like the sunrise or like winds. So that requires prayer. And we want to know what's the date of that prayer insertion. So that's the significance of knowing the Rishona. Shlishis lehisanos. The third date that we gave before is to know when fasting starts in the event that rain hasn't appeared till that point. Shnia lamai. What is the significance of having a date for the second rainfall? The Gemara will answer that question, and you'll notice a geometric form, and on the side we have a nosei mivneh heading. Tshuvos, the volcano shape, introduces responses, la sheilo, to the responses to the question, lama choshuv litzayin hatarif shel revio shnia. What is the significance of having a date for that second rainfall? So Omar Rabbi Zera Linadorim, it has halachic bearing or manifestation in the realm of vowels. Disnan, we continue now at the top of Amud Beis, Hanoider Ad Hagishomim, or Ad Sheyu Gishomim. Let us say a person vowed that he vows not to benefit from something until the rains. He uses that expression, Ad Hagishomim, or until the rains will be. What is meant by the term the rains? Ad Sheteired Revio Shnia, until the second rainfall. The Rashi has two explanations as to what the connection is, but the second explanation is the simplest explanation. That is simply the word Gishomim is in the plural, and the minimum plural is two, so it would be a reference to the second rainfall of the season. Rav Zvid Omar Lezesim, it has a halachic nafgamina, a halachic bearing concerning olives. And you can see that we have a bracketed section. The reason for the brackets is that if you skip them momentarily, you chance upon the third reason. And within the brackets, you have the background for the issue concerning the olives. This is there's a significant amount of background that's brought in here. Until we get to the issue of olives, you'll see the dashed underlined section a few lines from here. That is what has direct relevance to us. But since the markings appear and the structure is pretty clear, that we'll get back to answers regarding what I need to know the date for a second rainfall. Let's now go into the bracketed section. You said, Rav Zitz said something about the date of the second rainfall has bearing on olives. So in the brackets, we're going to learn about different tithes that are left for the poor. And those tithes that are left in the fields or left on trees are left there, as we said, for the poor. Let us say the public notes that the stuff has been left around for a long time and no one's taken it. Is it just left there to rot simply because it was designated as being for the poor? So we're going to see that's not so. There's a certain amount of time that only the poor can take from these tithes. But if they haven't come by a certain time, so anyone can then come and take it. So the source deals with that issue. Disnan me emosai kol odom mutorim. From what point is everyone, even people that are wealthy, are they entitled to take from these different kinds of tithes? So we have the first category, beleket b'shikho b'peah. When are they mutter in taking the leket shikho b'peah? Answer. We're not getting into details right now about the nature of these different tithes, but there's a grain-related tithe that, actually three of them, that are designated for the poor, and they're called leket shikho b'peah. These tithes are available to all, mishiyelchu hanemushos, when the nemushos have gone by. Right after this Tanaic source, you can see the Gemara asks my nemushos. So we'll wait for the Gemara to explain that. But once the nemushos have gone through the fields and stuff is still there, you, even if you're not classified as an oni, you're entitled to take it. The next category, beperet uba'olilos. Peret and olilos are associated with a vineyard, grapes. So mishiyehu aniyim bakerim viyavou. From the point that the poor have gone through the vineyards, they've gone through it once and twice. After that, the poor don't intend to go anymore, so you can take whatever's left. Bazesim, then mishetered revio shnia. Now this we've dashed underline because this is what's important for us. When it comes to olive trees, so there's a tithe left on olive trees for the poor. When is anyone entitled to take it? That would be at the point in time that the second rainfall has fallen. And meaning that you can rest assured that by that time, any poor man that will have wanted to take from it will have already gone by. my nemushos. We mentioned just two lines up that when it comes to the leka chikon pea of the grains, you're entitled to take it when the nemushos have gone through. So we have Omar Rabbi Yochanan. This is the first of two opinions. He says, Savi da Azli Atigro. Savi are the elderly, the poor ones, that Azli, that walk Atigro, using a walking stick. So if those people have already gone through the fields, so then you can take it. And Reish Lakish Omar, Reish Lakish's opinion on what Nemushas are, he says, Lakuti Bosar Lakuti. Rashi explains this is a poor man that takes his children to trail after him through the fields. If they have gone through, then anyone else can take, because other poor people aren't going to be taking any more. Another volcano appears, so hence we are returning to the question, an answer to the question of what is the significance of knowing the date for the Revi'a Shniyah. So Rav Papa Omar, Kedei Lahalech B'Shvilei HaRishus. In order to know at what time you can go through the paths of Rishus, permitted paths. Now, what does that really mean? That was just a literal translation, but we have to be maybe a little more accurate. Not a date that will tell you when you can walk through them, but at a date to know at which point you have to stop walking through the Shvilei HaRishus. What does that mean? The Omar Mar, the Gemara in Maseches Bava Kama lists 10 different conditions that were made upon the entrance to the land of Israel, and one of them has to do with the right of the public to walk through people's fields. Can you cut through someone's field? So there is a heter to cut through a field as long as your walking through the field isn't going to damage that which is growing. When are fields sensitive to damage? Well, that is true when seeds have just been planted, and trampling on them will ruin whatever is there for potential growth. So what's the cutoff point of when you have to stop walking through fields? From the second rainfall. From the second rainfall until the crops grow prior to their harvesting, so you cannot cut through people's fields. But after that, you are allowed to. And again, it's a cyclical phenomenon. When the grains start, so you have to stop walking through the fields. And when is that? That's the second rainfall we referred to before. And the Gemara quotes that source from Bava Kama, Mahalchim Kol Odom B'Shvilei Rishus. People can cut through literally the permitted paths, but it's another way of saying of cutting through people's fields, maybe as a shortcut, Ad Sheteired Revi'a Shniyah, until that second rainfall. At that point, the grains would start growing and trampling will ruin them. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omar, Levayer Peros Shvias. Rav Nachman says that the significance of having a date for the Revi'a Shniyah has significance during the sabbatical year, the Shemitah year, that one knows that the grains of the Shemitah year one has to rid himself of any of those that he might have in his possession. Disnan. Ad mosai nenim v'sorfen b'tevin u'b'kashel shvias. Until when can one benefit from the straw and stubble of grains that had grown during the Shavuos, the sabbatical year, the Shemitah year? So one can continue to benefit from them ad sheteired revi'a shniyah, until the second rainfall. So if during the seventh year you happen to be in possession of grains or stubble and straw that grew during the Shemitah year, you have to get rid of it by the second rainfall. It would appear the second rainfall that follows the Shemitah year, because we're talking about the Yoreh rains that happen in Cheshvan following the Shemitah year. But at that point, if you're in possession of any of this tevin or tkash of the Shemitah, you've got to get rid of it. We're not going to get into all the details concerning Shemitah. It's a very broad topic, but there is a final date for different types of Shemitah growths, a date by which you cannot benefit from them anymore. My time, well, what's the basis of this halacha that we just said that you have to get rid of them? Dichtiv, the pasuk says that during the Shemitah, the stuff that's growing is viliv hemtecha vilchayo asher ba'artzecha. It is for not only you, but it's for your animals and for the chaya, the undomesticated, the wild animals as well. And we learn from this, kol zman shechayo chiles basode, as long as it's available out there for the wild animals. So you can feed your domesticated animals that are in your domain, under your control. If it's no longer available, whatever particular product you're talking about, if it's apples, so it's apples, and whenever it's no longer available for the wild animals, so if you have any apples stored up in your house, you have to get rid of them. And here we're talking about tevin v'kash. When do you have to get rid of the tevin and kash? So when it becomes no longer available for the animals in the wild, kalei levehem techom in the bayis, you have to get rid of that which is in your storage. So now when it comes to tevin and kash, we say that wild animals will be able to eat from it, from the tevin and kash that are located in the fields, until it starts getting muddy. And that muddy level would be achieved b'reviyah shniyah, that second rainfall. So the second rainfall following a Shemitah year is the sign that you have to get rid of from your possession any tevin and kash that you may have stored up, because it's no longer available for the animals in the wild, the chaya that is basodeh. Now, as you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new idea. The marking that you see is featured under our Nosei Mivneh heading on the side, the double underline, Memros de Rabbi Avohu. The comments of Rabbi Avohu will appear. My Loshen Revia, first will be etymology, what is the meaning of that word, and Mosai Yoidim Shenofal Revia Rishonu Shnia, and when can we note, when can we say that these rainfalls have occurred? For example, if you have just a minor mist that in the air of precipitation, a misty precipitation, that wouldn't count as a rainfall. We want to know things that would serve as a sign of the rainfall having taken place. And again, we're speaking about the Revia Rishona and the Shnia. That may sound a little abstract now. Hopefully, as we go through the Gemara, it will become clearer. So, we continue now in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Avo, my Loshon Revia. What does that word mean? If a person has no Hebrew knowledge, has very little Hebrew knowledge, he sees the letters and he would try to extract a root. So it could reveal, also you see the word reva, which has to do with something which is fourth, like the word arba. What does reveal mean? So the answer is, davar sherovea es hakark. You see, the word rovea or reveal has a totally different meaning other than what we just said. It has to do with literally is something that sleeps or lies together, or it has to do also with something that if you have, let's say, a male and female mating with one another, joining with one another. In English, there's a term that it's maybe slightly in the slang, however, and that's the term sleeping together, but it has actually a root over here in the word revia. That in the following, davar sheroivea es hakarka, it impregnates the land. The rain impregnates the land through the rain that causes the seed that's in the ground to start to grow. So, if you think in terms of what we mentioned before, the male and the female, you can think of and we often talk about the seed. There's seed, or in human terms, so you have the egg, if you will, and it's impregnated by the liquid, the rain. Notice, without getting into any inappropriate or vivid descriptions, you see that we're hinting to something here, that the nature of growth, even when it comes to what you would call the inanimate ground and seeds, has a relationship, if pardon the pun, but it has a connection to forms of procreation when it comes to living creatures as well. And in our note on the side, we have this, that he'ora on the side, we have a starred note, where we see yesh l'sim lev l'oirech ha-gemara, to pay attention throughout the Gemara, labituyim v'tiurim hashonim, the different expressions and descriptions, shemashvim yiridas kishamim, that compare rainfall, lezivug bein ish v'isha, pirion, the parallel between mating of man and woman, and or male and female, and reproduction, uba'oifen klili yoiser, and even in broader terms, gishamim is equal to chius, is associated with life. Koshul ze gam ma she muvab le'el daf beis. Also related to this is that which we saw at the beginning of the Masechta, if you remember, the shloisha maftechos, the three keys. If you recall, we had the key of life and tchias hamesim, the tree of childbirth, that is Chaya, and Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead, and Gishomim, and rain. Those three keys have this theme in common, life. So now, that all brings us back to the word Revia, Dovor Sheroivea Sakarka. And we continue in the Gemara, Kidder Rav Yehuda, on the second of the wide lines, the Yomar Rav Yehuda, Mitra, rain, Baalo, the Arahu. It is... Here, well, just a literal translate, Ba'al means we the husband of the ground. The word Ba'alo, the word Bo'el, has to do with mating. It mates with the land. Shenemar, Ki kasher yered hageshem v'asheleg min ha-shamayim, v'shoma lo yoshuv, ki im hirvo es ha-aretz v'holido v'hitzmicha. Again, without getting into a literal translation, but you see, the pasuk deals with precipitation, talks about geshem and sheleg, rain and snow that falls from the heavens, and it is holido v'tzmicha, it impregnates and causes growth. V'yomer Rav Revia Rishona, in order to know when Revia Rishona actually takes place, so you will notice it, kedei sheterid bekarka tefach, it's enough rain that has penetrated a hand breadth of depth into the ground, so then you know that is the Revia Rishona. Shnia is kedei loguf ba pi chavis, the amount of rain that would cause the soil to become so muddy enough that you would be able to take a clump of dirt, of mud, and seal a barrel with it. Dried mud, as you're probably well aware, can serve as a sealing material. That's loguf, is to seal up a pi chavis, the mouth of a barrel. Chavis is a barrel or a jar. Omar Rav Chista. Here we have another marking. This double underline form is explained on the site. Sidro shel meimros shel Rav Chista is a series of Rav Chista comments shamashutof lohem. The common point between them, ein bohem mishum ne'etzar. You see that we're going to be using a diamond to include this phrase, ein bohem mishum ve'otzar. The otzar, we use this word in the Kriya Shema, the otzar es hashamayim ve'lo yeh motar. The Pasuk speaks about in the second paragraph of Kriya Shema that one should be wary not to veer off the path of mitzvos and then follow idols, because that will enrage the Almighty and He will react by withholding the rain. He'll withhold the heavens and there will be no rainfall. So in the Gemara, we're going to be looking at this in the we'll call it in the negative, when is there a situation that it is not a curse? In other words, there's a sign of that whatever phenomenon we'll describe is not to be taken as something accursed. Okay, let's see what exactly we mean as we go on in the Gemara. But these are the Meimros of Rav Chisda that we said that this point will be in common. As our note continues to say on the site, Tiurei Geshamim, descriptions of rainfall, She'ein Bohem HaKlola Shel V'Otzar Es HaShemayim, that don't reflect a curse. Omar Rav Chisda, Geshamim Shiyordu Kedei Loguf Bohen Pichavis, if rain has fallen to that extent that you can use the soil as a sealant, so Ein Bohem Mishum V'Otzar, then you know that there is no curse, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving you an ample rainfall. The Omar Rav Chisda, Geshamim Shiyordu Koidem V'Otzar, Ein Bohem Mishum V'Otzar. Now here there's a kind of play on words, but the word V'Otzar, Koidem V'Otzar, this is a reference to before the recitation of the Kriya Shema, so that rain that falls before you recite Kriya Shema is a good sign. Ein Bohem Mishum V'Otzar, there is no curse in that. That is a bit vague, because when we speak about Kriya Shema, we know that there are two times of Kriya Shema. There's a morning Kriya Shema, and there's an evening Kriya Shema. That's dealt with in the bracketed section. If you skip the brackets, use the bracket length indicator, find the next Rav Chisda comment, you see that a number of lines down, where Rav Chisda speaks about rainfall, and again you'll see a diamond, Ein Bohem Mishum V'Otzar, hence the comment made later connects with this series. But in the meantime, Rabbaye qualifies this second point of Rav Chisda. Amar Rabbaye, Lo Amoran, the point that Ein Bohem Mishum V'Otzar is said only Elo Koidem V'Otzar De'Urta, rain that falls before you would say V'Otzar Es HaShemayim De'Urta, in the evening. So in simple terms, the rainfall that is considered beneficial and not reflecting some type of heavenly displeasure is rain that falls during the day. Avol koidem v'otzar detzafra, but rain that falls before you recite v'otzar in the morning, namely a rainfall that takes place during the night, yesh bohem mishum v'otzar, that does have the potential of being a curse. Or in simpler terms, it's not viewed as beneficial. Rashi says quite briefly, and toward the end of the narrow lines, Aval yordu koidem v'otzar detzafra, yesh bohem mishum v'otzar, hoyo v'lo yordu bayom, since it's rain that didn't fall during the day, v'ein yofin l'olam, it's not beneficial to the world. So now, let's go back to the Gemara. Abai is telling us that v'fel koidem v'otzar detzafra, yesh bohem mishum v'otzar, di'oma Rav Yehuda bar Yitzchok, hani anani detzafra, less behu mashosha. The clouds, ananir clouds that one sees in the morning, they don't have substance, and there won't be a year of blessing. So when we speak about the clouds of the morning, so it's associated with, in this context, of that of rain that had fallen during the night, leaving clouds in the morning. They don't have substance. Dichtiv, Mo ese lecho Ephraim, Mo ese lecho Yehuda, v'chastachem ka'anan bokir. The prophet is lamenting the situation. What am I going to do? What can I do for you when your piety, v'chastachem ka'anan bokir, is like the clouds of the morning that have no substance? Omalei Rav Papa Labaya. Rav Papa asks, "V'ho amri inshi?" But is it not so that people say the miftach bovi mitra, that upon the opening of the gates in the morning, and there is rain? Bar Chamroch mochsakoch begani. Bar Chamro is a donkey driver who carries grains for sale. He might as well just lower mochsakoch, lower your sack of grains and the gunny and go to sleep, meaning you're not going to make any money, because just because you have this rain in the morning, rain at the crack of dawn, if you will, which is associated with, in our discussion, rain that would have fallen during the night. If it's rainy as a result of that, there's great plenty, and people will have large amounts of grain, and that the one who's trying to profit in sales, because of the mass amount, the quantity is so large, so he's not going to profit from the grains that he has for sale. The prices are going to be very low, and everyone will have their own grains, or whatever grains there are, they'll be able to get for practically next to nothing. If we look in Rashi, on the first of the wide lines, where he explains the phrase, if rain falls at the crack of dawn, when people are just opening up their places, then Yekapel Hachamor Shemocher Tvor Esaku, he should fold up his, the merchant should fold up his sacks of grain, Likones Lishon, to go and sleep on them, Mimnei Shehashonom Isbareches, since the year is going to be blessed with great plenty, via Soivabom, the great satisfaction and plenty in the world, Velo Yestakim Mchus Tvoso, Amu Yofenhain, so you see that rainfalls that take place early, say at the end of the night, in the early morning, they are beneficial. When we were just saying before that the rain that happens before the night, which would mean the latter part of the day, before you say the Kriya Shema of the evening, that's the beneficial rain. And here we're describing something else as being beneficial. So the Gemara answers. Lo kashya, there is no problem. Ha de kotir be'eva, ha de kotir be'anani. It depends. We were describing the morning clouds. If the morning clouds are thick, so then that's a good sign. If the morning clouds are very thin, so then that's what we're describing as not a good sign. Omar Rav Yehuda, tova l'shosa, it is beneficial for the year, the Teves Armalta, that the month of Teves is widowed. Armalta, Almona, same word, widowed, means no rainfall. So he reviewed is saying that a year in which Teves is without rain is good. Iko di Amri, de lo Bairi Tarbitzi, the Iko di Amri, de lo Shokil Shudfina. As far as the first explanation of why that is good is Delo Bairi Tarbitzi. Rashi has two explanations for this expression. The first explanation he gives is that Tarbitzi is a reference to the places that there is Torah dissemination, Marbit Torah. Bairi is a word that's associated with the word bur, meaning something that's vacant. So that it means here that the roads that lead to the different Torah learning centers will not be vacant, because if there's no rain in Teves, so that will then be a sign that the roads are not muddy and that people can travel on them. So that's the first of the two pshatim that Rashi gives. The lo bairi tabitzi, the yeshivas, the Torah centers will not be empty. And the second point the Gemara made, the Iko di Amri, the Lo Shokil Shudfana, Shi Dofon, is translated into English as crop blast. It's a type of maybe mildew. It's a dampness that eventually ruins the crops. So if the month of Teves is dry, so then there won't be a problem of Shi Dofon. The Gemara asks, Aini, is that so? The Omar of Chizda, Tova L'Shosa, the Teves Minavlisa. That a year, it's beneficial for the year when the month of Teves is Minavlisa, is the word Nivul would be in our case is muddy, is usually the word Nivul has it with something that's dirty, and in this case it means that in the month of Teves it's full of mud, it's very wet out. That's good. How can you say just before that it's good when it's Tova Armalta, when here Rav Chisa says it's Tova Minavlisa, which would be the opposite? Lo kashya. There isn't any contradiction here. Hada osa mitra meikara, hada lo osa mitra meikara. The distinction lies in whether there had been rainfall meikara from before, whether there was rain during the months of Cheshvan and Kislev. If there had been rains during the months of Cheshvan and Kislev, then one standard will apply, and if there had been no rains during the months of Cheshvan and Kislev, then the other standard will apply. The Omar of Chista, and here we go back to the, as we mentioned before, series of Maimros of Rav Chista, and that have to do with Ein Bohem Mishum V'Otzar. Gishomim Shiordu Al Miktsas Medina, V'Al Miktsas Medina Lo Yordu. Rains that fell on part of a region, and then the other part of the region did not experience rainfalls. Ein Bohem Mishum V'Otzar. And there is no, there isn't any curse in that. And Rashi explains that, very simply, the part of the region that had rainfall, so there will be crop growth there, and they will be able to provide the food supplies for that region that didn't experience the rainfall. The Gemara asks, Amy, is this so? V'hoksiv v'gam ani monati mikem es hageshem, ב'אויד שלושה חדושים מקוצר ומתרתי על עיר אחס ועל עיר אחס לא אמתיר חלקו אחס תימותר וכו'. Now, this pasuk, without getting into the little literal translation, has to do with something of a cursed nature. And in this pasuk it says, "Himtarti al ir achas val ir achas lontir," that on one city they'll have rainfall and the other city won't. Or chelka as timotir, some one will have and the other won't have. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shtehen Leklola, and Rav Yehuda says that both are considered cursed. Lo kashya. Once again, the issue of partial rain, meaning partial in terms of region, is is it beneficial or not? It depends. Hada asa tuva, hada asa kidemimboi lay. The distinction is made on whether there was a very large amount of rain. So Rashi on this says, Hadiko mitra tuva yoyser midai, if there was too much rain, and we'll say that too much rain fell in one area, then shtei and lekola, both are accursed. However, if the region that had the rain, but a proper amount of rain, the necessary amount of rain, not too much, then that is not considered a cursed situation. Omar Rav Ashi, daiko nami, dichtiv. Now, careful reading of the pasuk in Amos, the pasuk that we said does reflect a cursed situation. Dichtiv ti moter. That was the word that you saw at the end of the quote. We had dashed underlined it just a couple lines above. And the word ti moter is an abbreviated expression to hey mokoim motar. It's a place of rain, meaning too much. So Tei Mokomoto is a place of rain where the place is flooded. That is a cursed situation. So even if in part of the region there was no rain and the other part there was a flood, so that is a curse for both. Omar Rabbi Avo, Me'emosai Mevorchim. Now, we should have pointed out that here we have a slash mark indicating that the following is represents a totally new trend of thought. And on the side, under the Nosei, the topic heading, we've written Brocha al Gishomim. We're talking about the benediction, the blessing we make over rains, Me'emosai Mevorchim, and Ma Mevorchim. From when do we recite this passage, and what is the text of the passage that is the Brocha? So Rabbi Avoh asks, from when do we bless over the rains? Now, it's interesting to note that when you see this kind of question, from when do you do something, there's an assumption that you are expected to do something. That's how we opened up this very Masichta that began, Me'emosai Maskim Vuz Gishomim. So we have to ask ourselves, where was it established that you have to bless over the rains to begin with? So that had been established in Maseches Brochus. So, from when is the blessing made? Mishiyetze choson likras kala. Literally, from when the groom goes to meet the bride. Now Rashi explains, he has two pshatim on this, but the first pshat he gives is Shiyordu kolkach, My impression is that when a drop of rain falls and there's enough water on the ground that it causes it to like splash upwards, the drop of rain falls and it falls into an area where there's a significant enough amount of water that it causes the water that's already on the ground to spurt upwards. So that drop going upwards is there figuratively, or is there physically, as if to greet the next drop of rain coming down. So this splashing phenomenon where water goes up, it meets the rain now coming down following. So at that point, we would then say this blessing of praise. My Mevorech, the Gemara asks, what is the text? Omer of Yehuda Marav. You would say it's a blessing of thanks. Moedim anachnu loch Hashem Elokeinu al kol tipo v'tipo sheravdetlan. We thank you, O Lord, for each drop that you provided for us. Rabbi Yochanan Messiah Bochi, Rabbi Yochanan continues with a text that should be familiar to many of you if you daven, the Shabbos davening. You find this in the Nishmas section of the morning prayer, and it says, Ilu finu mole shira, kayom lushonenu rino, kamon galov. If our mouths were filled with praise like the water of the sea and like the waves at the ocean. And you continue with this with the known text, Ad Keil Al Yazvenu Rachamecho Hashem Elokeinu Velo Azavunu. We request that Kosh Baruch doesn't abandon his us from providing his mercy upon us. Baruch, and you end off, Baruch Ato Hashem Roiv Ha'odaos. Now the Gemara asks, the word Roiv Ha'odaos implies for the majority of things that need thanks. Roiv Ha'odaos Velo Kol Ha'odaos. It's a strange expression to say that we thank you, Almighty, the one who provides most of the good things. What, HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't the sole provider of everything that's good? Amar Rava, Amos, so Rava says, better to say Kael Ha'odos, the Lord that is deserving of thanks for everything that's thankworthy. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa, in characteristic style, that we find in many places with Rav Papa, he says, let's fuse the two expressions together. Hilkoch, we continue at the top of Zayin Amud Aleph, Nimrinu L'Travayu. Let's say both expressions, but the word Roiv isn't like we thought, that it means majority, leaving room for there to be a minority, but rather the word Rov means multitudes. Therefore we say, Kael Ha'odos V'Roiv Ha'odos. The Lord, the Almighty of thanks for the multitude of benefits, for the multitudes of benefits that He provides us with. With that, we will be ending our shiur. But before we do so, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in the context of accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.